I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
Now when you
hear a little prayer will turn in,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by. Hear a little prayer will turn in,
and you'll
know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will
answer by and by.
For those of you who are watching the Middle East, something's happening there, interestingly. And we're going to see, I believe we're going to see something happening there before the rapture. It's called that incredible Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. Bible studiers haven't been able to figure out where is America in that big fight. And I'm beginning to be suspicious that Donald Trump's advisors are telling him, just allow it to happen. Let God take care of it. And this is why I'm suspicious is gonna happen from now on. Our business is not the Middle East. We're not the policemen of the world. Those people have been fighting for the last 50 centuries. So what can we do to stop it? They go there, they try, they leave. It's back to the same old grind. Unbelievable. And Donald Trump seems to have the wisdom, or he seems to have the intelligence that is brought to him by people who know these things. He seems to understand, regardless what you try over there, nothing's going to help. So we're going to see, as Turkey accelerates in its wars against the Kurds, and then maybe Iran and Russia will come together with them. They already had their meetings. We're going to get rid of Israel. And we know the promises of the Word of God. Israel will stand all the way through the end. And nobody's going to get rid of them because they're God's chosen. Even though they don't seem to act like it right now. We're going to come to that time when God will take away the veil from their eyes, and they're going to see, and then they'll cry, oh, how foolish we were. We couldn't see for the seeing. Hallelujah. God is good. Today I want to teach on an interesting subject. It's going to be a teaching on how to see God, because we're coming into confusion. The Bible teaches in the last days there shall be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that has been preached all over the world already by some strange preachers. They have this little 15-year-old girl who's screaming to the UN, you have destroyed our country. What are we going to do? I mean, she seems to know everything, but her generation seems to know everything about climate change, but they don't know whether they're male or female. That's a strange one, isn't it? They know everything about climate change, but they don't know what sex they are. How on earth confused can you become? But that's what the Bible teaches will happen. They will call right wrong and wrong right. And we are in that day today. The homosexual community is looking at us with this strange look. Don't you know any better? Well, we know what the Bible teaches us. We don't have to go from north to south to find out. We know what the Word of God teaches us about this abomination that is taking over the country. So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open our hearts to the truths of your scripture. I ask you to bless the listeners. Help us to understand in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Interesting things are all over the place. There is a lot of preachers on the internet today, and it's very tempting to go listen to all of them. I'm a learnaholic. I want to know everything. But the Bible has doctrines. There's doctrines throughout the Bible. And there are a lot of people that abuse these doctrines. And for the novice or for the person who is too cautious, he can throw those doctrines out like throwing out the child with the bathwater. No, if it's in the Bible, you don't disregard it. You pay respectfully attention to it. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here it gives us instructions to study the word of God. Because this is our anchor here on this natural earth. We have the voice of God, the Rhema, whatever they call it. Anyways, the spiritual voice of God. And we have the written word of God. And the written word of God is our anchor. We can definitely trust in it. We don't have to wonder, I wonder if it's right or if it's wrong. Listening to the voice of God is I recommend anybody get to learn to hear the voice of God. He'll give you a spontaneous, something will pop into your mind, and you will have to decide, is it the voice of God or is it the voice of Satan? And you got to listen to hear the voice, make sure what voice it is. Is it connected to the name Jesus, that voice? What I mean by that, is it goodness, kindness, graciousness? Is it gentleness, or is it condemning? See, this way you know which voice it is. Is it something that's trying to force you to do by condemning you or making you prove yourself? That's the voice of Satan. I was watching something very interesting yesterday. There was a big church, and they had an experiment done. They blindfolded this one lady, and the preacher went up to her and talked to her, explained to her his voice. This is my voice. Now you're going to do what I tell you to do. So he told the blindfolded lady to step down from where she was and told her to do with her feet what she had to do, laying obstacles in front of her. And she was able to negotiate all the way up to the altar because the navigation was sure, because she was listening to the voice of the preacher. Then all at once, another person took a mic and imitated the preacher, almost the same sounding voice. But the lady hesitated because she recognized there was something different about this voice. So she didn't move. What do I do now? So they give us an example. Then all at once, a whole bunch of people started talking into the mic, into different mics, talking to the lady, and she stood there in confusion. What do you do when that happens? You want to listen to the voice of God, and all at once you hear all sorts of voices. Here's what you do. You stop, and then you go to the Word of God. God doesn't mind if you're confused and stand in one place for a long time. Wait for Him. Don't make a hasty move that you will regret. God will forgive you, but you can still come back and correct yourself. But remember, the voice of God, it's important to get to know Him. He will give you a word of encouragement. He will always let you know that He loves you. He will never tell you, prove yourself if you love me. God doesn't do that. He knows that you love Him. He doesn't need any proof from you. So God wants us to understand this. So my recommendation is this: study the Word. Get to know the voice. Study the Word. Get to know the Word of God. And then start believing what the Word of God tells you. In Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3, it tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." How many of us Christians understand and know that? God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available for us. Even though they were abused by somebody else, that doesn't mean it's not for you. You do not have to tell everybody what you're doing. It's between you and God. Let God work it out with you. And once your confidence and once your belief system kicks in and starts, you start to understand, you can start telling other people. There was one person that once came to me and said, "I had an interesting experience with God." And the lady explained to me what happened. I was just sitting there listening. And finally she said, "You don't believe me." I said, "Yes, I believe you. I understand what you're saying, but be careful who you share it with." And guess what? She shared it with somebody who was a total non-believer when it came to stuff like that. And the first thing that person asked, "How do you know it was God talking to you?" Totally destroying the lady that was so happily telling her experience. So be careful. Watch who you tell. Watch who you share your joys that God, your nuggets, your pearls that God is showing you. Be careful, because there are thieves and robbers out there, not intentionally, but just not where they should be. So blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13, "In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And one thing I want you to understand, before you try too much in the spiritual realm, before you try to correct somebody else, before you yourself step into a place where God will maybe use you, make sure you understand that you belong to God. Make sure that in your heart you know you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Because if you don't know that one, Satan will hit you with all he's got. I remember when I first had the first experience of casting out a demon. Oh, that was an interesting one. And the demon started talking to me. He called me a son of God. I said, yes, I am a son of God. But I want to ask you a question. Who are you? I am accursed. Yes, you are accursed. That's what the demon was speaking to me through a nice, young-looking lady in a rough, growlish voice. I am accursed. And I said, yes, that's where you belong, where the cursed ones belong. So hit the road, get into the pit. And that was it. It was gone. So I knew where I stood when I confronted that demon. I knew I was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And I knew if I even made a mistake, it wouldn't make any difference to my standing with God, because I was sealed unto the day of redemption. That is so interesting. Regardless what spiritual channel you go into, if you know that you know that you belong to God, you don't have to be afraid of making a mistake. What if I make a mistake 10 times? Well, my Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, if your brother makes a mistake 7 times, you got to forgive him 7 times. What about 7 times 77? Then 7 times 77. That's forgiving you all the time. If you belong to God, his forgiveness is there forever. So regardless how bad you were this week, regardless how often Satan tripped you up this week, you're forgiven. You're still in God's kingdom. You're still sealed unto the day of redemption. Nothing's changed. If you study the book of Job, there's one scripture there that says, if you sin, do you think you're going to remove God from his throne? No, you will not. He's still there. God wants us to understand that. Once we are on that foundation, nothing can move us. So before you get into this spiritual things with God, make sure you know where you stand. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty powers? It's through his mighty powers that he's doing all these things. Don't tell me what you're doing for God. Tell me what God is doing for you. It's through his power. It's through his giving you the ability to work God's ways. If you get into the deliverance ministry, for instance, or if you get into getting a word of knowledge from God, if he gives you a spirit of prophecy, you know that you knew that something's going to happen. You don't have to share it with everybody, but you know in your heart. You can make a mistake, but it's the power of God that gives you that interesting, spontaneous idea or that word. Einstein made a very interesting statement. Anybody knows who Einstein is? He's one of the smartest people that ever existed. He said that spontaneous word or idea from God, that one sentence is what counts. The rest we add on to. But it's that one, that first one that comes from God. This is the one that counts. We add on to that. and we try to form the ideas. And that's why he was called the smartest man, because he listened to the spontaneous words of God. So it's from God that they come to us. We do not conjure them up ourselves. Last week we were teaching on people on a cult that was, they were into, for how do you call that? Confessing their sins to one another. On a daily basis, they would have meetings confessing their sins. Not their sins, but their thoughts. The sinful thoughts they had. They were just muddying up the waters daily, stinking up the sewer daily, that's what I would call it, confessing the thoughts that Satan was putting into their minds, not realizing that it wasn't their thoughts. It was the thoughts of Satan. And this is how the children of God just go from one idea to another if they don't study the Word of God. And the studying the Word of God is very crucial. Study to show yourself. It doesn't say study so that God can be, so that God can approve of you. It says study to show yourself that you're approved of God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you may think you know everything, but sometimes you read the word of God and boom, something hits you in the face. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. That's your eye of your understanding being enlightened. God is speaking to you. And then you try to share it gleefully with somebody else. And he looks at you with these blank, staring eyes. What are you talking about? The reason he does that, he doesn't get it. You got it. God opened your eyes. Your eyes were enlightened. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Our inheritance is incredible. If we would spend a quarter of the time looking at our inheritance that we have in heaven, compared to looking at what we're trying to inherit here on earth, we would all be different people. People spend so much time on the temporal things of this earth instead of seeking and looking for the inheritance that God wants to give us. I was preaching last week on the Apostle Paul saying, I know no man in the flesh. Meaning, for those of us who are born again, we shouldn't look at one another as a fleshy person, but as a spiritual, powerful being that has been changed from glory to glory. Now we see him like that. And one of these days, we're going to be in heaven, and he's going to be our next door neighbor, and we're going to have to maybe apologize a little bit to the way we thought he was. So it says our understanding being enlightened, that we are going to inherit that awesome riches of his glory. How many of us, yes, we can say once the rapture happens, we'll see all the glory of God. But we can start seeing the glory of God here already. Why do so many preachers burn out? They're there Sunday after Sunday preaching the word of God. It is because they don't seek on how the glory of God operates in this life. They're living by the word of God only and not by the Spirit of the living God. That is very important. When I look at myself, I see myself burning out if I wouldn't get that booster pep once in a while from the power of the Holy Ghost, where he shows me the inheritance that I'm going to receive
and already receiving here on this earth. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has made us alive. While we were dead in sins, we didn't love him. He loved us. He has raised us up together. Now listen to this. And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is a good one here. We do not set ourselves there because we haven't got the ability. Our ability to do good at best is hypocrisy in many cases. But the Bible teaches us he looks past that. And then he raises us up together and he makes us to sit together with him in heavenly places. Isn't that good news? I can relax in my being a preacher. I may make mistakes. I may get discouraged. I may think to myself, Satan has all sorts of bombardments. How do you know people are listening to you when you go on the radio? What difference does it make? They all heard the gospel 250,000 times. I think of this. God has called me to do it. He has already seated me in heavenly places. So I'm going to finish my course that he set me on. Are you seated with Christ in heavenly places? Do you see yourself as that? It's not by our doings. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. He has quickened us together. He has made us alive. He seated us in heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus. We're not in ourselves anymore. We have become one with Christ. God has connected us, breaking down the wall of partition that was between us. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8, it tells us this, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to this one. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, I read my Bible 500 times a week this week. And let me tell you, I read the Bible through at least 10 times already. I'm boasting on this one, ain't I? What's the difference between me reading my Bible and somebody not reading it if we're both saved? There is no difference except the poor guy who doesn't read doesn't understand what Jesus asked for him. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are what? Listen to this. We are his workmanship. Not we ourselves. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus through what? Through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what our faith hinges on? It hinges on the blood of Jesus. It hinges on the power of the blood to cleanse us totally and completely. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He said when he was a young Christian, they would have these church gatherings. And then the preacher would say, anybody who feels he's being oppressed by a demon, I'll meet you in church after church, down in the basement. And he said, us kids, we would go there and watch. And that guy would come down in his rough voice and say, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the blood of Jesus. He didn't even have to touch people. They started screaming and throwing chairs and doing everything, but they had to leave. Why did they have to leave? Because of the power of the blood of Jesus. You know what is interesting? Sometimes I get into this situation when I try to cast out a devil, and the devil doesn't want to go. You can feel him holding him on with all his God. And all we do, we get a few saints around and sing the song. There's power in the blood. wonderful working power in the blood, the first thing the person does is this. Why does he do that? They don't want to hear about the power of the blood, which has power over them. They have to leave, because Jesus Christ in us is the power of the universe, and Satan cannot stand against it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you understand this one? Do we know that we are his workmanship? We didn't do it ourselves. God made us who we are. And it's not going to stop there. We may get into all sorts of doctrines of the Bible, the power of the Holy Spirit, casting out devils, praying in tongues. That's the best way to cast out a devil, is start praying in tongues. It doesn't take long. They start growling. And even raising the dead, the disciples of Christ were raising the dead. There's people being raised from the dead throughout the ages, but people don't pay attention. People who are sick getting healed. Interestingly, I was watching something very interesting the other day. In my younger years, before I was a Christian, even now, I enjoyed boxing. How many of you like that sport? The guy gets hit in the head and he's down. I participated in that sport when I was younger. This is why my face is still nice looking. I knew how to protect it. And there's a guy, a professional boxer by the name of Evander Holyfield. How many of you remember him? Evander Holyfield. And he was supposed to have a matchup with Mike Tyson. How many of you know that guy? The guy who bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. And Evander Holyfield had a heart problem. He had to quit boxing. Then one day a person prayed for him. I don't know if it was a preacher. And he got instantly healed. And he came back into boxing. He didn't tell too many people that his heart was healed. And I was listening to this boxing match here about 3 days ago. I was watching it on TV. It went about 10 rounds. Evander Holyfield was doing pretty good. Then I heard the announcer say, I wonder how long his heart is going to keep going. Is his heart going to give out on him? And guess what happened? As the fight continued, he became stronger and stronger. That poor Mike Tyson, by the end of the 10th round, he was just basically staggering around, while the other guy, Evander Holyfield, who was a born-again Christian, just knocked the daylights out of him. I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. That was great. And this is what Christianity should be all about. We knocking the daylights out of those evil things that harass us. So he was healed from a heart condition. The world doesn't recognize that, but that boxing match sure recognized it. Hallelujah. It was awesome to watch. Check it out on YouTube. You can catch it yourself. So by grace, we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a workmanship from God. So regardless where we go, if we are in Christ, we are going to win. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself this week. Amen.
There is something that's gonna happen, and the day is drawing near. It is time to get excited. It's the footsteps that I hear. Come on, Gabriel, blow your trumpet. All the dead in Christ shall rise. We are going to a meeting just beyond the eastern sky.
Is that footsteps that I hear?
Heavenly portals seem so near.
Heavenly lights are shining clear.
Is that footsteps that I hear? Are you ready for the rapture when we meet him in the air? Oh, it's coming, it's drawing closer.
Is that footsteps that I hear? Many a saint has fought the battle, run the race, and shed the tears. Now it's time to get excited. Is that footsteps that I hear?
Heavenly portals seem so near.
Heavenly lights are shining clear.
Is that footsteps that I hear?
Heavenly portals seem so near.
Heavenly lights are shining clear.